Welcome to Cat Crazy. I'm Tracy Hochstrom, and I am crazy about cats and the people who care for them. I'm here every week with answers to your questions about living with your kitty. My number is 888-429-5471. I want to thank my sponsors. I've invited these companies to be here because I believe in them and use them myself. I hope you'll show your appreciation for their support by becoming a customer yourself. And Whole Life Pet will send you a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. Stay tuned for Dr. Sue Ettinger on The Pet Cancer Vet right after this show. Cat Crazy is a production of Eight Paws LLC, which is solely responsible for its content. The number here again is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. I'd love to hear from you. And I am so proud and excited to introduce you to my guest co-host tonight, marvelous, amazing, exotic animal veterinarian, Dr. Jennifer Conrad, who, in addition to taking care of lions and tigers, seriously, like, takes care of them, scratches their head and pulls their rotten teeth and fixes all their problems. She has started a nonprofit called pawproject.org, which is going to help ban the use of declawing everywhere in the United States, one state at a time. Dr. Jennifer, it is marvelous to have you here. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you for having me, Tracy.
You know, I have a kind of a little rule, if that's the right word, for the vets that I invite to be my guest co-host. There's just two things that I ask of them. And one, I ask, you are, you know, sometimes they're specialized in cats, usually. And I say, so just to be clear that on this show, I only espouse, since cats are obligate carnivores, to feed only a meat diet, no dry food, which I call kitty crack. So I'm hoping that as a feline-loving doctor, you would agree with that. And also, I'm opposed to declawing. And it's a little frightening that there are some veterinarians who not only say, well, there's a lot of cases in which I think dry food is good, but others who say, well, you know, there's cases where declawing is appropriate. So tonight's show is devoted not only to Dr. Jennifer and me talking about what declawing actually involves physically, what is being done to mutilate your kitty's feet, but then what the repercussions are. And she has created the most amazing documentary. It'll be out soon, and we're definitely going to have lots of links to it on the Radio Pet Lady Network. And it, I think, brings home the message of the horrors of declawing better and more poignantly, more dramatically, more truthfully than anything I've ever imagined. Dr. Jennifer, you don't see small kitties, right? You only see big kitties?
Well, I do see some small kitties because I take care of the kitties that are in the commercials on television. And I'm proud to say that 100% of those cats are rescued out of the pound.
Is that right?
Yes.
I heard that about, you know, the famous cat, Morris the cat. He was a rescue apparently, right?
Yes, and all the cats that you see on TV for those commercials for cat litter or cat food, those are all rescued cats.
And is that just sort of a norm in the industry?
I think so, because anybody who knows anything about rescuing cats knows that there are so many great cats to get in the local shelter, and why would anyone pay for them?
Yes, and then it also gives that good socio-political message, which is adopt, don't shop, especially where cats are concerned.
Absolutely.
So your specialty is Hollywood animals, so animals that do any kind of performing, but also ones who are in sanctuaries, right? Because in your documentary, there were a number of these amazing big cats in sanctuaries, right?
Yes, exactly. I do both. I use the studio work to pay for my habit of taking care of animals that don't have any money.
You are so lovable. There's a point in the documentary, I'm just going to jump ahead a little. If any of you have a cat who isn't declawed, you keep it that way. And if you have the least little concern about maybe it would be a good idea for your furniture, which seems to be the main reason, please call us. Let us save your cat's paws. 888 929-5471. And if you have adopted a cat who's declawed, then you know perfectly well that about a third of the cats in the shelters were declawed supposedly to make things better for their people. And in the end, the people couldn't stand living with them because the cats were so freaked out from having their feet mutilated. And Dr. Jennifer, I think part of your discovery of the hidden, the invisible horror of declawing came from seeing your big cats who'd been declawed so they could be in movies, or maybe so they could be exotic pets, which is another horrible idea. And is that where you first realized just how awful what was going on inside our pet cat's feet? Or did you already know it?
Well, I never really thought about it. When I was in vet school, I didn't declaw a cat for – I just didn't think it was the right thing, but I didn't really know all the details about it. And then when I began to see these big cats who were maimed by declawing and started to repair their feet within as soon as that got out that I was doing that, of course, there was a whole slew of emails and calls saying, what about little cats? Are you going to do something for the little cats? They're suffering. And I didn't really think about the little cats because I was worried about the big cats. And then, of course, I began to worry about the little cats, too. And then I found out that a quarter, like one in four American cats are declawed. So the numbers are staggering that this is happening.
See, I didn't know that. Oh my gosh. And where should we back up to? Let's back up to, because people right now can't see the documentary, but pawproject.org is a website you absolutely need to go to because there's lots of photos on there. There's probably video clips. I had the honor of being able to see the documentary in order to, you know, hook up with Dr. Jennifer. She was also a guest on my NPR show Dog Talk, and I realized she was not just really angelic St. Francis kind of person, but also going to be a really important voice in the world of domestic cats for all the great work you've done for the big cats. I think what you're going to be doing for the little cats in America, in other parts of the world, I think it's illegal to declaw. I think it's illegal in England, right?
It's illegal in most of the rest of the world. That's what's so shocking, is that the United States is that far behind in this, on this issue. And Canada's behind too. But what's amazing to me is that an area like Croatia, for instance, known for having trouble with human rights, absolutely outlaws declawing.
Isn't that wild? Isn't it funny that there can be societies that have more sensitivity towards a feline member of the population than the human members? That is really interesting. Well, anyone who's had a declawed cat, as I recounted on Dog Talk, and I've mentioned it briefly here on the show, but I need to say right up front, this is not to put a guilt trip on anybody. This is not to make you feel like a bad guy. I am one of those people who personally chose, under the recommendation and suggestion and support of my vet, who also was a friend, but unfortunately deeply ignorant is all one can say. Not a cruel person, but was cruel benignly because she was ignorant of what she was doing. I did declaw two of my cats, and it was a terrible, terrible experience to see their entire personalities change, their ability to walk comfortably. One ran away within a week, just ran away, just gone. And the other one walked for the rest of his life as if he was walking on hot coals. And they give no pain medication, and they tell you they'll get used to it. So, Dr. Jennifer, why don't you first describe what declawing is? Because people think it's something like cutting their nail off, but it's really the first joint of their foot.
Yeah,
can you talk a little bit about that whole process of, like, it's sort of like one of those awful movies where they show terrorists torturing somebody to get information, or us torturing a terrorist to get information, like mutilating them. It's torture.
Exactly. It's the thing is, the term declawing is absolutely deceptive as to what it really is. It is de-knuckling. It is taking the last bone in a cat's paw on every one of the cat's toes and amputating it. And no matter how it's done, no matter how the veterinarian tells you that they can do it and they do it the right way or whatever, it is still amputating a bone out of your cat's paws. And if you don't think that's going to have ramifications in the future, you're sadly mistaken. It is serious. and it is 10 tiny amputations. And I really believe that if people knew that and if they actually really thought about what that means, they wouldn't do it.
Because we are, I can't say tricked, but to some extent, the AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, which probably does lots of good things. One wouldn't dislike an organization that rounds up all the veterinarians and tries to keep them up to date on education and accreditation and doing their job properly. They have pulled the wool over the eyes of owners because vets cannot claim not to know what they're doing. The vet knows that they're taking, basically imagine a garden shears, for lack of a better description, but it really is a small garden shears, and snipping off. Imagine behind your nail, there's that. Behind our human nail, ours are in a nail bed, as the documentary explains, but there's a joint behind it. And if you snipped off all those first joints of your finger, it's what you're doing to the cat. And vets have to know that's what they're doing. And to imagine that that doesn't cause not just exquisite pain, and they're given no pain medication afterwards, but the inability to use this God-given gorgeous paw with which we've seen cats play with water, catch a mouse, climb a tree, climb, scratch, all those things are gone. And you do something great in the documentary, Jennifer. You show the kind of snipper that they use that is supposed to be for nails, but instead is used on a tiny kitten to cut off the first joint of its paw. And then you hold up a cigar cutter, and anyone who's been around cigar smokers knows it looks like a guillotine. It is. It's like two little knives and a hole in the middle for the cigar, and you put your own finger in. You obviously didn't snip it. And you showed that, and it was really a great visual because people could see, oh, my God, that is just shocking. It's full-on mutilation. We have
exactly.
We have a call from Robin, who's one of the greatest special friends of this show. She runs a foster out of her house called Kitten Associates. Her entire life is devoted to fostering cats, often with terrible problems, and rehoming them. Robin, welcome to Cat Crazy, and love you to meet Dr. Jennifer Conrad. She is a partner in trying to get people to do the right thing. I really am so glad that you called. I'm wondering what kind of experience you've had with cats or kittens, I hope not the kittens, that you've taken in that have been declawed. I'm sure that must have happened to you. Robin? Okay, we're having trouble hearing Robin, but Doug will sort that out. I'm sure that that is a frequent problem. Jennifer, I guess one of the things that vets are taught to tell people is that, I have to do this or the cat will lose his home. Let's talk about that false thinking.
Well, I think that is one of the reasons why veterinarians agree to declaw a cat is they think that they're actually keeping a cat in the house by declawing. But what I have to say about that is if a person is intolerant of a cat scratching furniture, then that person is going to be very intolerant of a cat not using the litter box or biting. And those are both behaviors that declawed cats will begin to exhibit after being declawed. They've been robbed of their primary defense, their claws, and so they begin to bite. And the first time they go to use the litter box after being declawed, they say, "This hurts. I am not going back in here." And that's the end of it. They will not use that litter box.
And then out of litter box problems become a serious, serious problem. It's really frustrating that this travesty continues to go on. I mean, you'd think that like so many archaic ideas and ways of doing things like, I don't know, beating children in school because we thought it would make them learn better. Just for example, we don't do that anymore. It's actually against the law. So if we come to realize not only that it causes extreme pain to the cats, but that it does not only doesn't solve, well, it solves the problem they're not going to scratch your couch, but it means that now they have to have an outlet for their pain and frustration at not being able to use a natural part of their body. It creates bigger problems than the problem that was there, because you could always provide scratching posts for a cat, very many different kinds of scratching posts. You can also snip their nails every 2 days. Right? I mean, the little curvy part of their nail, it's super easy.
Cats have clear nails. It's easy to know where the quick is.
Yes.
And you can absolutely clip their nails. You make it a fun ritual with them by
Yes.
giving a treat afterwards.
Yes.
And you can do it. And you don't have to do it every 2 days. You can do it every 2 weeks. It's just perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really grow back that fast, but it's just the curvy part that actually causes the damage, if you will, to your so-called, you know, divine couch. But there's so many kinds of scratching posts of the cardboard ones and the vertical ones and the horizontal ones and the sisal and even a piece of carpet that you can turn on inside out, so to speak, not the part that has the carpet, but the gluey side. And you can tack that down against some part of a wall in a place that no one sees it, and they'll use that very happily. We do have Robin back. Robin from Covered in Cat Hair, a most wonderful, wonderful blog. Hey, Robin.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing tonight?
Great, sweetie. I wanted to know if, and please meet Dr. Jennifer Conrad, who is just like this angelic person. Have you had a bunch of or a number of cats declawed come to you as fosters that were discarded by other people?
Well, actually, I just had a situation where I had to do an assessment on a cat whose owner wanted to euthanize her because she was so aggressive with his caretaker. The gentleman couldn't provide care to himself, so he had a caretaker, and supposedly the cat was attacking, and this cat was declawed. She's
wow.
also morbidly obese. So I went to do an assessment of her, and as she sat, she was absolutely unadoptable. And I didn't, you know, I understood why he might want to feel he could only euthanize the cat. We did put her into foster home. We got her vetted to make sure she didn't have any arthritis in her paws or any pain that was causing her to be aggressive. And in 2 months' time, this cat has turned around in ways we never could have imagined. She's lost weight.
Wow.
She's friendly. She can use a litter pan. She's doing all the things that she should do, but she's always going to have that, you know, painful paw from having her fingers cut off.
Yes, that's a great example, right, Jennifer? I mean, of people, of a cat, they say it's to save their life. They can easily lose their life because once they turn into biters, which is what happens out of their frustration, that they can't use their part of their body in a natural way, they can become aggressive or be pooing and peeing all over the house, and then you can't adopt them unless you have somebody with Robin's patience. I'm sure this is one of the most compelling reasons besides the pain to outlaw and ban this barbaric practice, right?
Exactly. Well, I think that the gentleman who declawed her, he didn't know what he was getting into.
That's
maybe
right.
Some vet said, hey, you need, you know, you need to have care at home. You should probably declaw your cat
yes.
so you don't
yes.
get scratched. Now, the reason that bothers me so much is veterinarians are not supposed to be treating human, humans. They are not experts in human medicine. And if you look at the CDC, you know, Centers for Disease Control, the U.S. Public Health Service, NIH, and even the Infectious Disease Society of America, they all wrote a joint statement in a report that says declawing the cat is not advised to protect human health. So whichever veterinarian this was who advised that man to declaw the cat to protect his health actually was giving him a false sense of security or even jeopardizing him, because now that cat was biting. And anybody who knows cat bites knows that that is a trip to the emergency room.
That's
whereas
right.
a cat scratch is just watch it and wash it, you know.
That's right.
It's not the same. So that veterinarian is completely culpable in this situation.
And in your documentary, oh my God, Robin, we might be able to slip Robin a copy. I guess you can't do that safely, but oh God, she'd go crazy for it. There's an interview with the mayor of West Hollywood, because Jennifer decided that the only way to manage this wasn't to try to educate owners or vets, because education is sort of available anyway, but no one was going to embrace the true meat of the problem. So she thought, well, we've got to make it illegal. And West Hollywood, from Dr. Jennifer Conrad's efforts, pawproject.com, .org, became the first town. It's really just a little enclave. I used to live there. But it is technically a town in the country to outlaw declawing. And the mayor is HIV positive. And on the documentary, he says, I'm HIV positive. And declawing a cat would not be good for me. It would actually be bad for me, because if that cat were to bite me or anybody else, right? I mean, that's a really great moment in the documentary. You couldn't have planned that better.
Yeah, well, it's true. And the thing that I think needs to be addressed here is that who are veterinarians who are recommending declawing to protect human health? They are going against the CDC. That,
yes,
to me, is a crime, because the CDC knows human health better than any veterinarian.
Well, it's malpractice, both the practice of medicine for humans incorrectly and malpractice to the wellness of these kitties. Robin, when you said you went to the vet to check on that arthritis, I want Dr. Yes. Jennifer to describe to everybody what she discovered inside the paw pads of these large cats that had been declawed.
Oh,
it was
absolutely
horrifying, because it was the invisible cause of the pain. And in the documentary, you see her with these lions and tigers and mountain lions. Oh, my God, you have amazing patients. Jennifer, talk about it, because it's so – I can't tell you how many times I cried in this documentary, and it was not manipulative. I mean, it was very not manipulative. But this tiger, you personally paid to fix the paws of all these – you're personally out of your own kitty, as it were, to fix the paws of all these tortured animals that couldn't walk. There's one thing of watching this mountain lion trying to walk down the ramp in his enclosure, and it was though he was walking on hot glass shards. I mean, it was awful. And then they show Dr. Jennifer and this other vet with the tiger, you know, asleep, anesthetized. Jennifer, talk about what you found inside those paws.
Well, what's interesting is that I found nail regrowing in the paws of many of these poor kitties, big kitties, that were declawed. And what I found was interesting was that there are two schools of how to declaw a big cat, just like there are it for little cats. Some people say you have to take the entire bone, but that leaves the cat with hammer toes. And some people say to avoid hammer toes, you take only part of the bone, but that means the nail's going to regrow under the skin. So there is no right way to declaw a cat. And this is the bottom line is it's not necessary. It never does the cat any good. It doesn't do the human any good. We really just need to stop this.
And in the documentary, there are x-rays, Robin, of the big cat's feet, the tiger's paws, and this weird, distorted, just freaky-looking bone growth, which is the claw trying to grow inside the closed paw pad. And when they do the surgery, which is a little gory to look at, but you have to see it, they take out this newly grown claw that is inside the paw pad. And when they do when they do this and fix all of his paws, and then you do it for the mountain lion, there was also a lion, these animals that weren't able to even walk can play with their ball, and it's like, oh, my God, this is what's going on invisibly inside. We need to take a break. When we come back, we have somebody very special to say hello to us, somebody who's in the documentary, someone who I absolutely adore, and the whole issue of declawing, she and I were passionately hoping to do something years ago, and now Jennifer has fulfilled our dreams. So after this break, we'll be back with the amazing Dr. Jean Hovey as well. Just hold on for 1 minute. And if any of you have a question about declawing, you think maybe we're wrong, your vet told you they can do it with laser, wait till you see what laser does. It burns it and it takes off their joint. 888-429-5471. We will be right back. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility. So it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those who are trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feel Away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for Feel Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. Dr. Jennifer, before we say hi to Dr. Jean Hovey, I just wanted to know if there's any suggestion you could make or recommendation you could make to Robin when she does take in a cat that has been declawed. Is there something, she has great relationship with the vets that give her such great deals and they totally admire everything she does. Is there something in particular x-ray wise that should be done because maybe a repair could be attempted?
There are things that can be done, but I personally think the best thing is things like massaging the paws to keep them loose and prevent hammer toe. And also, I think that being cognizant of the fact that the cat feels less able to defend itself or might not want to use the box. So, for instance, a box with no litter in it at all, or just a puppy pad, things like that. As well as the cat can't jump away to get away from other cats very well. So keeping aware of all those things, the psychological and emotional impact that declawing has is one of the things that I think people haven't really addressed. And I think it's going to be the most important thing in making them feel happy again.
And there will be a generation or two from now when this won't happen anymore because you're going to have that kind of success. Robin, did you have any last question for Dr. Jennifer?
Well, I just wanted to share one really quick thing with you. Is we rescued an adult cat who had been declawed all four paws, and we were, doing our routine vet care on her. And while in foster home, she started to act strangely. We couldn't figure out what was the matter. And then we realized she was in heat. So she never was spayed, but she was declawed in all four paws.
Oh, my God.
That happened to me, too,
so
when I
angry in
went
my life.
To – sorry, I rescued cats from Katrina, and two of them had been declawed on all four, but not spayed or neutered.
Oh, my God.
I just wanted to take the license away from the vet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just totally reprehensible. I mean, there has to be some way you can take a placard and walk up and down on the sidewalk in front of this vet as a mutilator. Robin, what you do is fantastic. I really appreciate you calling in. And, passing the word along to all your people in the cat rescue world, which already know not to declaw, but as soon as Paw Project, the documentary comes out, we got to share it amongst all the people in the cat-saving community, because if they weren't entirely sure, they will be after they see it. Thank you so much for being a special friend of
Thank
the show and a special friend to all those kitties. Dr. Jean Hovey is now a movie star. Hello, Jean.
Oh, a movie star. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
hey,
you are.
How you guys doing?
I've seen you on the big screen. I actually saw it on my internet, so it wasn't that big a screen. And I told Jennifer when I got in touch with her that when I was starting to watch the documentary, I thought, Dr. Jean and I wanted to start this thing, and Jean bought the URL for Paw Savers, but we didn't know what to do. We knew we had to stop declawing. We didn't have a clue what to do. And then she found you. And it's just so cool that all like-minded people somehow wind up even in the mountains of Colorado where you are. And there's Jennifer out at the beach, right, in California, and you find each other. Did you learn things from the documentary that you didn't know with all of your passionate belief in declawing being bad?
Yeah, I did, actually. And some of I haven't seen the whole thing myself. I've seen some clips. And one of the most surprising things, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, is the attitude of the dang vets. It just boggles my mind. I got an email the other day from a Facebook acquaintance, and she said, "Hey, I talked to a friend of yours," and she named one of my very good friends from vet school. And she says she just doesn't get it. It's like, oh, my God. did I, you know, did when we sat in the film the night before, we had to learn that procedure. When we sat there and watched it being done in detail, you didn't notice that I was sobbing and that I had to leave the room. So, I mean, it's like even my friends don't get it. She is exact parroting the same BS we learned in vet school. And, you know, it's convenient to lean on that. And we have got to get to these people. They just don't understand.
But the thing that it turns out I didn't even understand myself. I said to Jennifer, but I thought the AVMA, because the AVMA had in the documentary, you have this brilliant use, Jennifer, of footage from their promo films going, it's really marvelous to take the feet off of a cat. It's really fine, not to worry. And I said to Jennifer when I was talking to her on Dog Talk, but I thought the AVMA finally did something really revolutionary and came out against declawing. And Jennifer, what in fact did they come out against?
They came out against declawing of big cats, I think, because it's not a moneymaker for anybody.
Yeah, and, I mean, like, how many lions are there in America, right?
Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of lions, but it's not a moneymaker for any one veterinarian. I mean, I have gotten letters, as so has Dr. Jean, saying, I will never give up declawing for domestic cats because I'm making $75,000 a year doing it. So I don't think anyone who's declawing lions is making money like that, but that's why the AVMA, I think, it was more comfortable about it.
Oh, I see. So they drew the line. If you're really big, you can keep your paws, but if you're little, you don't need them. It's more handy for
people. It's actually not true, because they've come out with a statement saying wild or exotic cats. So there are wild and exotic cats, like the palace cat or the cod, that weigh, you know, anywhere between 5 and 12 pounds, just like a domestic cat. It is not a weight issue. It has to do with
money.
Where the money's coming from.
Money. Isn't that revolting? So you can tell, one of the reasons I was hoping Jean would be able to call in, and those of you listening, you are listening to Cat Crazy, and we're talking about declawing with a woman who's going to change the laws in this country. So you will never have to face this moral dilemma. You will never have to feel as bad as I felt, as guilty and as horrible. You'll never have to face it again because it won't be legal. 888-429-5471 if you have any questions about declawing or any other cat question for that matter. But I think you have some pretty fantastic news that I'm sure Jean will get a big, big kick out of, Jennifer. The cities that had already, because of your work, that had already made it against the law to declaw were West Hollywood, Los Angeles, and Santa Monica?
Santa Monica, San Francisco, Berkeley, Burbank, Culver City, Beverly Hills, and, of course, we started in West Hollywood. And Dr. Jean helped on all those fronts. We fought very hard in all that time, but we lost in one city. We lost in the city of Malibu, which is really painful to me because I grew up in Malibu.
That's right.
I consider Malibu my hometown. But we lost in Malibu. But I have really good news, and that is that on Saturday, just this week, we screened the documentary in Malibu. Over 200 people showed up. And the veterinarian in Malibu who is declawing up until Sunday. On Sunday, he decided that he has had enough pressure and enough backlash from the documentary that he will stop. So we effectively have now banned declawing in Malibu.
Isn't that amazing, Jean?
Oh, fabulous. Woohoo!
Yeah. It's really great because, you know, Malibu doesn't have a lot of concentration of vets or of population compared to other places, but it's influential. A lot of wealthy people live there. A lot of stars have second beach homes there. And there is a vet that people use. So, and they use them when they're there for the summer or they're there for the weekend. So that man needed to get on board. He didn't do it for the right reason, Jennifer. Whatever, you know, in the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Just leave the damn cat's feet alone. But did he not do it because he too was sobbing when he saw the documentary? He did it just because people were giving him too much grief?
Yeah, unfortunately, from what I understand, he after seeing the documentary, he was very angry. And from what I understand, I don't know. I didn't talk to him. But The next day he came to his senses and he said, you know, it's fine. I will stop doing it. And I'm very proud of him because it takes a lot.
It does.
For somebody to change their minds like that. And I think it's great because I think he was declawing a fair amount of cats.
I'm sure he was. And there's tons of kitties out at the beach. And I mean, they get out really easily. There's not a lot of property. You know, people don't have catios. So if they're going to be out and not be squished on the Pacific Coast Highway, at least they have a chance to, like, you know, escape a dog or get up a tree or something. Or at least not live
coyotes.
In pain. Yeah, coyotes. Heavens. Oh, my God. Yes, definitely. Wow. Amazing. Jean, if you'll just hold on, we need to talk a little bit more about declawing because it's really – it's so important. We could talk about it every week from now until all the laws are passed. I want to talk, since you have been an activist – with Jennifer, I'd like to talk about what maybe people can do in their own towns or how to sort of engage with Paw Project online so that it can guide them in what to do. Because there's no point in people just getting enthused and then having no action they can take. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, more on declawing. We'd love to know if you have any questions or concerns. We certainly do. 888-429-5471. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Cat Crazy with my guest co-host, Dr. Jennifer Conrad, and our guest, Dr. Jean Hovey. I forgot to send a shout-out to the Halo pop-up store in New York City, Halo City Tales, New York City at 47th and Lexington, where for a whole month the Halo Pet Foundation is raising money, all of which goes to shelters and rescues. They're not selling Halo food. They're selling goodness, if you will, so you can go right in there. Some of you are in there now listening, I hope. And all that money goes to charity, and it's just a really cool and great idea to have a place where people can stop and think about adopting instead of shopping. And a lot of shelters and rescues are doing events at the Halo pop-up store, so we're really glad that you are simul-broadcasting into the store and onto 47th and Lexington, right onto the avenue. So anyone who wants to come in from the cold or the rain, come on in and listen to Cat Crazy. What is it, Jennifer and Jean, since both of you work together on politicizing, in a good sense, the issue of declawing, what is it that you would like to ask people to do in their own communities? Is there kind of a rollout of this idea where you're going to go state by state, or is it county by county? What is your plan? Because I know, Jennifer, your dream is to end this barbaric practice, period.
It's true, and I think it's Jean's dream, too. I have exciting news. If everything works out exactly how I want it to, which I am pretty much sure it will because I won't let it not, I will have the documentary on what's called a tug screening, which is a way that people can get the documentary to come to a theater in their town.
Ooh.
And if they go to
that's a cool
pawproject.org, so that's pawproject.org, and they go from there, they either join our mailing list or go like us on Facebook, then as that comes to fruition, the information will be available. And I'm really excited about that because when screening the movie in Malibu the other night, we had 200 people who wanted to see it, and we made change immediately in the city of Malibu.
That's
so
right.
I'm hoping that people all across the country have all over have expressed interest in seeing the documentary and getting their veterinarians to see the documentary. I'm hoping that they will follow through, like the Paw Project page, and they will get the updates.
So it will be possible, like in Williamstown right near here in Massachusetts across the border, there's a really great art house theater, and they do show documentaries and all kinds of movies. So that'd be a perfect sort of place.
Exactly. I think it's going to be really great, and I just want to make sure that people know it is coming. It is going to be available within a month or two. So now is the time to let us know who you are, where you are, and that you want to see it, and we will tell you how to do it.
Oh, that's so cool. So, Jean, what about in Colorado in the mountains?
Well, you know, I have talked to shelter directors, and, you know, they're supportive, but the political environment, you'd think Colorado would be all that, but it really isn't. And you know, it's kind of hard to find legislators that are willing, that even have a good record on animal issues and that are willing to go there. But I think if we had, a wave of pressure from the public, just all of a sudden, Boulder and maybe even Denver and Fort Collins, Longmont, those towns might be receptive if they get a public swing on it.
Definitely.
I mean, that's a fabulous idea.
It's a great idea, Jennifer.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the documentary will percolate into the American consciousness and people will start to demand that veterinarians stop doing this. They have to stop doing this. It's wrong for the cats. It doesn't protect a cat from losing its home. As Jean and I have talked about many times, in fact, it seems like they're twice as likely to lose their home because mm-hmm. they've been declawed. And it doesn't protect human health. There is no reason to declaw a cat, especially when there's so many humane alternatives like soft paws, trimming the nails, finding the right scratching post. You have to let your cat choose what's the right scratching post. Not just pick one out and go, oh, my cat doesn't use it. You have to let your cat choose, and then all these problems would be solved, and your cat can have his or her claws, and we will be like the rest of the world where it's illegal.
And one of the things also, Jean, you haven't seen this in the documentary yet, although you did see it in vet school and left the room crying and then threw up, and understandably, is there's a movement now, apparently, as though it's not bad enough to do it to mature cats, to do this to little tiny kittens. And there's some idiot ass of a woman in the documentary who says, I believe she could even be a spokeswoman for the AVMA. I don't know. I forget who she was, Jennifer, but you would know intimately. And she says, she has this beautiful little kitten in her hands, a little tiny little kitten. You know, they say that cats can't really adjust. So that's why we think it's best to do this before they get used to using their feet. It's like, seriously? They want to take the front joint off of every little toe on a little teeny kitten because the cat won't know its feet are mutilated? I mean, these people are like taking the Kool-Aid of some kind. I mean, these are people that are veterans. She was a veterinarian. I mean, it's like you can't even know what to say back to the stupidity of that, right?
Pretty much.
It's really hard.
It's hard to see and it's hard to think about. And it's also really hard, as I said, the woman who declawed my cats was a friend and someone in whom I had faith and confidence. And I hadn't written the cat Bible yet, so I hadn't done my homework or my research. It doesn't take very long to discover just how vile it is, I mean, and how inexcusable. And these vets who say, oh, we don't do that old archaic kind with the knife or with the clipper. We use laser. And right in the documentary, Jennifer, you show that laser burns. It actually gives them a burn in addition to removing the joint. I mean, however you remove it, you've removed it. You've mutilated their feet. There's no two ways about that, right?
Exactly. There's no right way to declaw a cat because it's absolutely wrong to declaw a cat. And the other thing I like to tell people is if you really think that declawing is doing something good for American cats, then you should look at countries like Great Britain, where they do not declaw, they have fewer cats being killed in shelters, and we're not hearing about this massive die-off of older British ladies who are dying because they've been clawed by a cat. So I just think it's very important that people begin to say, hey, let's have some empathy for cats, and let's realize that a cat, part of what a cat is the claws, and we just cannot put up with this in this country or in Canada anymore.
That's right. And what you've given us all is this gift of this film that says it all. I mean, it's one thing for three women on a radio show to go, oh my God, this is so shocking and so bad and so stupid and so painful and so cruel. But when you see these cats, the big cats, I think, really send the message so powerfully about the little cats. Because to see a great, big, gigantic animal having that level of pain to put his foot down, and then the x-rays of their toes and their feet with all the warped, distorted bones and the claws trying to grow back under the skin, it's just irrefutable. And, you know, it's so great you got into Malibu. Was it just in the Malibu movie theater, or where did you show it?
We showed it for the Malibu Film Society. So that was kind of fun because it wasn't a bunch of animal people. It was actually the Film Society.
Oh.
And they screen documentaries. It's part of what they do. And we showed the movie. It was sold out. And then after the movie, I actually got a standing ovation, which is really nice because These are not animal people. These are film people, and they recognize that the film was that powerful. And let me make sure that everyone knows that I am a very sensitive animal person. So when I did when I worked with my editor on making this film, I did not want to make it one that makes you cry and makes
That's
you feel
right.
sad and want to kill yourself after you've seen it and feel helpless. In fact, it's cut the exact opposite way. It's cut
That's
to
right.
make you feel inspired to join the cause. Don't you agree, Tracy?
Absolutely. And in fact, there's one vet in there. I'm just dying for Gene to see it. There's a vet in there, a gentleman, and he's a veterinarian. And he had obviously done many, 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 many declaws, and you cut back to him. The editing is so good. A number of times with his comments about his realization of what he'd done, and he's just sort of stunned and speechless because he said he always knew it was wrong, but he just sort of didn't stop. And then when he got religion, if you will, and realized this is just not acceptable, he just seemed so full of, I don't know, such sadness for all of the harm that he'd done, because that's what the mandate was. And, you know, for me, it was very compassionate because it showed that the vets aren't necessarily venal or money-grubbing. Some may say, I don't give a darn what the cat's experience is like. I got, you know, a mortgage to pay. I wish I thought they were bad like that, because I don't view vets as money-grubbing. I mean, I just see them as really dedicated to animal welfare, and the fact that they could be so wrong about this, so unbelievably wrong, and have never questioned the party line that they got in college, and yet someone like Jean questioned it from her very first day in vet school, and yet her seatmate, who was her good friend, to this day doesn't see what the problem is. Bandaging up these little cats' feet, bandages up to their knees, and then the way they try to walk afterwards, and knowing that for their whole life they can't use their hands. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like binding Chinese women's feet. That's exactly what it looks like. Does that strike you as well?
I think
it is
so.
A lot like,
yeah.
Really stunting and distorting them.
Yeah. When you amputate the toes, I mean, basically you're taking nearly a third of the area that the paw walks on. You know, and people say, "Wow, we spay and neuter, and we do all these other surgeries, and you know, they don't have they don't have a problem. We dock dogs' ears and they don't ever have a problem. Well, dogs don't walk on their ears. And, you know, cats have to walk on those feet for the rest of their lives. You know, there's never a chance to heal. My good buddy and partner, Jackson Galaxy, had an episode on his show, My Cat from Hell, but he, it was a declawed cat who wouldn't use the litter box. And she was on her fifth home. You know, declawing did not save her. She went through five homes before she found someone who would even work with her. You know, these cats are miserable for life. I mean, the phantom pain issue alone should stop us right in our tracks.
Absolutely. Well said. And, I mean, there's a cat that has more than nine lives because five times over could as easily have just languished in a shelter and then been euthanized, not to mention the emotional trauma of being bounced from home to home and winding up on Jackson's show and being called a cat from hell. I mean, it's not like there's a happy ending. It's still torture for everyone. So I think that, the film, the only thing that made me cry about the film, it's not the kind of film you say to people, I don't think you can handle this, you better not see it. It just made me cry because it was almost the humans who'd done it and felt so bad. There was a woman who did it at 19 to her cat, not a vet. And she said, you know, I was stupid, and I felt like her too when I watched it, but she was great. You've got wonderful people on camera. She said, I just cared more about myself than anything else. And it is, and with her eyes full of tears, she said, it's the thing I most regret that I've done in my entire life. She was a grown woman. So, you know, it is so compelling. And we all have to go to pawproject.org. And now I have a social media manager. So I'm going to make sure that Holly, my social media manager, since I can't manage any social media, will continue to say people, like you on Facebook, join the mailing list so that you can be up and up to the minute on where pawproject.org is going to be, how to get it in your local movie theater, and how to turn your state into one that can hold its head up, right? Gene, we need to get Colorado on that list sooner rather than later. I bet we could do New York. As huge as New York is, New Yorkers as people are such loudmouth, strong characters. If we could show this in a bunch of places in New York, I bet you could, the two coasts, we could do California and New York, and then everything else would have to tumble into place. Right, Jennifer? Would that be a dream?
That is a dream, and I think it is happening, and that's why I encourage people, join us right now. We are going to make a tidal wave for this movement, and we need you. We need you. This is the time. Join us now so that we can find you when we are in your city so
yes.
that we can say, hey, local people are here
exactly.
who want this done. So please join the Facebook page. At least join the mailing list for the Paw Project, and we will do this. We will do this in our lifetime.
And it really is going to be democracy in action, right, Jean?
Yeah, we have to do this. It's so ridiculous. You know, and I have a lot of material on my website, Little Big Cat, for
yes.
people who want the science, they want the background. I have details. I'm putting together a declawing activist handbook. That's,
wow.
You know, that's my next big project on the docket because I think, you know, there's things that we're doing right and there's things that we're doing wrong. And let's focus on the right making movies and not antagonizing everybody. And that doesn't get you anywhere.
Exactly right.
We need facts. We need science. We need truth to get out there. And the truth will set cats free. It really, really will.
Well said. We've run out of time, but I'm going to make sure that Little Big Cat becomes a special friend of this show and that every single person who listens to this show and all the other shows joins Paw Project and likes them on Facebook. Dr. Jennifer Conrad, you are amazing. Dr. Gene Hovey, I love you guys. We will talk again soon. Have a great night, ladies, and thank you for everything you're doing. Kiss your kitties, hug your pooches. We'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.